Praise God. Well, if you would turn in your Bible, if you got your Bible there, Exodus chapter 18. And we want to spend a little bit of time tonight looking at and establishing once again for ourselves that God never assigns a task without equipping those whom he assigns. And along with that, let's say this, whether you realize it or not, you are equipped. You have an endowment from God. It's interesting the word that's used in the New Testament several times, not every time, but several times, to talk about the word gift is the word charisma, and it means an endowment of grace. Now, we're not talking about natural abilities here whatsoever. Not talking about that at all. These charismas, these endowments, these abilities are things that you can only do by and in the Spirit of God. And if you try to operate these things outside of the Spirit of God, then, of course, you're doing it in and of yourself. There is no anointing there. And unfortunately, we can get ourselves into areas that we don't want to be in when we try to do that. But I want us to look at some things. You know, God, a lot of folks think God is a different God in the New Testament than he was in the Old Testament. He's not. He's the same God. And he has always equipped those whom he's assigned to do whatever it is. And I believe God has given people anointing in areas they don't even realize they can be anointed in. You know, we think of anointing, we think, well, that's just for the preacher. Absolutely not. I say it again, absolutely not. Amen? You know, I look back there's Brother Phil Anglin, and he's worked at this ministry for years, and he's one of our instructors here at Raymond, does a fantastic job in the classroom. But Phil, you know, has been in photography here at Raymond for years. He studies his craft and knows that. But I see some of the pictures and some of the shots that he takes during live services. And, you know, I'm in that same service. I can take a picture. But I don't have the anointing that he does to know when and where to be and to be led by the Spirit of God and just to be in the right place at the right time with his camera. They say, oh, that's an anointing. And how valuable. You don't know how. See, those pictures that he's taken have gone all over the world. It's amazing. I go places around the world and I'll see a picture that Phil took hanging on somebody's wall. I used to see when we used to produce the ministry calendar. How many remember the Rhema calendar, Kenneth Hagin Ministries calendar? I'd go to every year, I'd take one with me to Africa. Especially to Kenya because they loved him. And I'd go back the next year and they had those pictures framed up in their houses. You know, especially if it's a picture of Brother Hagin, Mom Hagin, Pastor and Mrs. Hagin. Boy, they've got those framed. They're hanging right there. They got all their family pictures and there's Pastor Hagin and Mrs. Hagin, you know. They've had those framed everywhere. And, you know, sometimes we leave out and we realize we don't have to do whatever God's called us to do in and of our own ability. Amen? And so I thought, you know, just a great way to start off, you know, my time of ministry at Raymond Bible Church for this year. In talking about this, you know, I think the greatest thing that's going to happen in the future is to be there when you hear, when we're all standing before the Lord to give an account of what we've done, the greatest thing would be to stand there and to hear Jesus say to folks, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. What a wonderful time that's going to be. What a time of rejoicing that will be. Amen? Praise the Lord. Here in Exodus chapter 18, you know, Moses is doing ministry. Pastor talked about Moses this morning and how he stood confidently and declared to, you know, stand still and see the salvation of God there before the Red Sea. And he talked about if, you know, he had to be bold and or be looking for a new job. I thought that was hilarious. It'd be a transition coming on him. And I thought, well, where would he go from leader to expert water treader, I guess, because he's going to have to, you know, that water's coming, so he better get ready to swim. But the Egyptians were not expert treaders of water, obviously. They drowned in the water. But here Moses is doing ministry, and there's a lot of people, and he's sitting there all day long deciding, you know, between disputes and telling people what God's word has to say about their situation. And his father-in-law, who's a priest of God, comes there and observes what he's doing, tells him, Moses, you're going to wear out. You know, the thing you're doing is not good. But he gives him a solution. He tells him, here's what God's saying. And he gets over here to verse 21, and that's where I want to pick up. Moreover, you shall provide out of all the people, or all the church, or all the body of Christ, all of your local body. Moses had, obviously, the people of God with him. But of everybody, able men, King James says. Able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. And place them, such over them, to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens. And let them judge the people. Why? Because they're able at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto you, but every matter they shall judge, it shall be easier for yourself. And he goes on down here in verse 25. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens. Now, I write this in every Bible that I have when at some point, then verse 21, I always write this phrase, get ready, get ready. Now, I want you to notice that Moses chose from the people who had ability and who also had the characteristics of they had reverence for God, they were people of truth, and they hated covetousness. All right? And that last one I kind of define as, to me, it means they had no price. You couldn't buy them. You couldn't talk them out of what God had sent them to do. You couldn't change, because these folks are going to be making decisions. So, in other words, you can't bribe them. But they already had to have these characteristics involved with them. Well, you look at that, and ability stands out. And in verse 25, people of ability. Now, over in later on here in Exodus chapter 31, let's turn over there. God had given Moses the responsibility of creating the tabernacle in the wilderness, building traveling, if you will, a mobile tabernacle where God's presence could dwell. He gave him instructions to build the Ark of the Covenant, told him what would go in there, gave him everything, the measure, everything, how it exactly had to be done. Only problem is Moses can't build anything. But God told him, you do it. Well, you know, sometimes in that type of, especially in leadership situations, Jethro's father-in-law told him, you can't do this yourself alone. You know this, whenever the priest of God, Midian, he was a priest of God in Midian, came and told him, and he said, I say this by God. Whenever God says something like that, you know this, God has a plan already. And if he tells you, you can't do this by yourself, then you know this, God has already provided those to help you. All right? God has already made provision. Now, that might be us. You know, here at Rhema Bible Church, of course, our leader, his name's not Moses, his name's Kenneth W. Hagin. Right? He's our pastor. When I talk about get ready, Moses needs help. Get ready, your pastor needs help. See, get ourselves ready. Well, first part of getting ready, we've got to understand that God has placed within each and every one of you, if you're a child of God, God has placed within each and every one of you a divine ability to do something that you could not do in and of yourself, to do it, in other words, with an anointing, with the power of God. Everyone else stands back and says, well, just look at that. Look at that. Amen? Have you ever been around people, babies? Boy, they can just handle, they can do that children's thing. They get in there with those little ones, you know. You go in there and every child starts screaming. You haven't even walked. You sit 1 foot in the door. Wow, it's on. That anointed person goes in there and those babies are just, why? The power of God. The anointing of God. Amen? Amen. Some of you obviously have that. Wow, anointing, I can tell right there. Here in Exodus chapter 31 then, So the Lord, verse 1, the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. Now, don't pass by something there. I have called. I have called. Over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul said, I pray, he said, that you would walk worthy of the calling or the vocation, same word as calling later, wherewith you are called. He's writing that to every Christian. Every Christian is called. Romans 11, 29, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Calling. A calling is a divine invitation or a summons. If I wanted you to come here, I'd call your name. Come here. Right? You understand that? I would call your name, and that would be your invitation to come. You know, to come here and to do something. I'm going to invite you. That's what a calling is. It's like a divine invitation from God, a summons to participate in something with God. Amen? And Paul said to Timothy, it's a holy calling. It's a holy thing. You know, anything with God is holy. It's not common. That means it's not to be treated commonly. Okay? This isn't something that you ever take for granted, your calling, or the gifting that God has given you, the ability God's given. If you take it for granted, you're in a position, what did Paul tell Timothy? Stir that up. Stir that up. I was looking at that here recently, and one of the definitions that somebody put was rekindle. Rekindle. You ever had a fire go out? Can you rekindle that fire? Right? You can get it going again. Stir it up. Stir it up. One of the ways is to never, ever lose sight of the fact that I'm called. And I have an anointing from God, a divine ability. So he says, I have called these people. And notice verse 3 then. I have filled him with the Spirit of God. Now listen to me. This is in a time, you know, I used to make the statement too that, well, God only anointed in the Old Testament, gave his Spirit to the prophet, priest, and king. This guy is not a prophet. He's not a priest. He's not a king. But he's got the Spirit of God on him to build and to work with his hands. Let's keep reading here. I have filled him with the Spirit of God in a certain area now, in wisdom. Now, not to prophesy, not to preach, but in wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and brass, and in cutting of stones, to set them in the carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. This is a God-anointed, Spirit of God-anointed craftsman. Amen. All right, let's keep reading. And behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. And in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom that they may make all that I have commanded thee or you. See, the leader's responsibility here is to receive the direction of God. Then it is the Spirit-anointed members of that group of Rhema Bible Church, us spirit-anointed members of Rhema Bible Church to do and make to come to pass that which the direction of the leader has received. Amen. Amen? Amen? You know, sometimes, you know, we get confused. We want it, you know, if you ever catch yourself, well, I think the church ought to be doing, just grab yourself right here by the ear, pinch it really hard. Just pinch it really hard. Get your fingernail in there. Make it hurt because you're out of place. Amen? Now, sometimes, you know, in our position, the guys go, Pastor, well, what do you think about this or that? But, you know, we might give ideas. But, boy, I'll tell you, once the decision's made, and we don't make the decision, but once it's made, amen, it don't matter who came up with the idea. Right? It's our job to use the anointing God's given us, whatever that is, to bring that to pass, you see. All right? Praise the Lord. Now, let's keep reading here because there's more here. Praise God. He said, the tabernacle of the congregation, the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is thereupon, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, and the table and his furniture, and the pure candlestick with all his furniture, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his furniture, and the laver and his foot, and the clothes of service, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his son to minister in the priest's office, and the anointing oil, and the sweet incense for the holy place, according all that I have commanded thee, or you, shall they do. I've commanded you, and they shall do. Who? People whom God has placed his spirit within them and given them the ability to do something with an anointing. Tell your neighbor, I have an anointing to do something. Now, we're not here tonight to discover what that is. But I will say this. Paul, by the Spirit of God in Ephesians chapter 1, that Spirit-anointed prayer, he said, Father, I'm praying to you, the Father of glory, the Father of my Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I pray this prayer for you. I go to him and I say, Father, give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. Let the eyes of their understanding be enlightened, that they may know what is the hope, and it says, of his calling. So he says, Father, I would pray that they would know, have that spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, the eyes of their understanding, let the light go on the inside, the eyes of their understanding be enlightened. Now, how's that come? The entrance of his word brings light. The eyes of their understanding be enlightened, that they might know what is the hope. Now, hope, the confident expectation of not what I call myself, but what he called me to do. I'm supposed to know what God is expecting me confidently. Pastor talked about that word confidently this morning, didn't he? Confidently to fulfill what he's called me to do, which he's gifted me to do, and he's never going to take it back because it's without repentance. Now, there's no reason then, if we can pray that prayer for ourselves and we can pray that, there's no reason for any Christian to not know what God has called them to do. Now, you may not know 5 years from now, but you ought to know what the next step is or what you should be doing right now. All right? So if you don't know, then start praying that prayer. Amen. Start praying that prayer. Now, again, you don't need to know 5 years from now because you'll try to go do what you're supposed to be doing 5 years from now, and you'll fail at it. Right? That's like a lot of people. They love to run and they think they want to. But I'm telling you, it's a whole lot better to take a step at a time to get there than try to run and jump on that top. Now, some of you might be able to. Some of us can't. Us. Usins. Or as my granny used to say, Ewins. Not y'all, Ewins. That's Southern Illinois. Ewins. Amen. My mom's family grew up in Southern Illinois on the Ohio River, close to the Ohio River. And that was that phrase, Ewins. She'd say that, well, Ewins doing this and Ewins doing that. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Now, this same thing, this is so important here to Moses, that Moses understands this, that he mentions this again to Moses over in Exodus chapter 35 and beginning with verse 30. Let's turn over there. Now, remember, his father-in-law told him, you can't do this alone. Search out for people with ability among all the people. Then he tells them, you're going to build this, Moses. This is what you're going to build. And he said to them, what I've commanded you, they shall do. Point at your neighbor and say, they. Tell the other neighbor, you are they. Now, see, in the local church here, realize Church Universal operates this way. Whatever Jesus commands, we do. But bring it down to the local church. Whatever God has given the pastor of the church, the direction of the church, and that's who God's going to give direction for the church, folks. Don't get it mixed up again, as we said. When God gives them direction, then they, that's us, shall do. We've got the ability to carry it out. See, God gives, even in the church, you know, God gives, and we got some pastors here, they know this. God gives you direction and vision. Sometimes you might know, but he gives you step at a time. Why? Because you can only fulfill, that vision can only be fulfilled based on the people you have at the moment and the giftings God has given them. You know this, if God gives you direction that's beyond where you are now, you know you're about ready to grow. That's why vision is important. Amen, that's another subject. But here, Exodus chapter 35, verse 30. And Moses said to the children of Israel, now he's going to tell them, he's telling them this. After the Lord told him, he's going to tell them. This is after they had received a big offering to take care of this work. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works. Now notice, who called him? The Lord did it. And he devised curious works to work in gold, silver, and brass, and in the cutting of stones to set them, and the carving of wood to make any manner of cunning work, and has put in his heart that he may teach. Now notice that. Not only was he anointed to do it, he also had an ability and anointing from God to teach others. Both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. They were anointed to teach others how to do this. Them has he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver and of the cunning workman, of the embroiderer in blue and in purple and scarlet and fine linen and of the weaver, even them that do any work and of those that devise cunning work. And he goes on to talk about their ministry and what they did and how he called them and gave them the offering. The free will offerings that the people brought to him every morning. And he would give it to them and they would go and they would make whatever God. And they built that tabernacle in the wilderness. They built that Ark of the Covenant where the presence of God dwelt between the mercy seat, which was a type of the Holy of Holies in heaven. And it lasted, you know, through the time of David and Solomon, up and even until the time of Jesus, it was there in the temple. Now that, you think about it, you make something like that and it lasts that long. See, that has to be done with the wisdom of God. With the wisdom of God who in the palm of his hand weighed out the waters and the earth and put it in balance. And is so wise, you think about God, he's so wise that, you know, we blow it up, dig it up, move it around, block it off here, do it up, move it all over, and it still rotates and goes around the sun. And God did that all with, there you go, that's good. Amen. Aren't you glad we have a God that knows more than us? And we're not cut off from that wisdom. Now look over in 2 Timothy, praise the Lord. 2 Timothy. See, we're talking about all of us tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Talking to you tonight. You that are a child of God. God has given you and assigned to you and has summoned you and invited you with a calling to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may never stand in the pulpit. That's all right. Because you want to do what God's called you to do. You want to use the gifts that God has given you. There is no such thing as a second class calling or position in the body of Christ. Some callings are second position, you see, or third or fourth, whatever it is. But not in class or in importance to God. Amen? Now here in 2 Timothy, picking up on this word able here, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. You therefore, my son, Paul talking to Timothy, by the Spirit of God. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, just stopping there, that just tells you this. You know, if he's supposed to be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus, evidently there's more to grace than just getting us saved. The grace of God that saved us, one aspect of it is it'll keep us strong. It's in Christ. And these things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able, notice that, shall be able to teach others. Now that's an interesting word here. I'm looking at it here in the Strong's Concordance, the word able. It's the word, the English word is hikanos from the Greek lettering. But it means this, I like this, it means, it's similar to the word, to be able means to arrive. That's interesting. Now listen to this, it means to be competent as if coming in season. Now do we know anybody else that came into a season for such a time as this? Amen. You see, commit thou to faith. So what do we do? What do we do in our time if we're not operating necessarily where we're? What do we do right now? We remain faithful. We're faithful. And when it's our season, we come into that ability. Amen. Sometimes you have that anointing never ever manifests until you step into that season. To operate in that season. You see? And he says, that shall be able. It means to be competent in season. That's a very interesting thought. In season. Now, if you've been a Christian long enough, you've been active serving God and in the things, you realize this with me, that there are seasons. There are seasons of life. There are seasons of ministry. How many of you have been married long enough that you've gone through seasons? You got married. Well, you had that, you know, you're married. And then all of a sudden you change seasons. Why? A little one came along. That's a change of season. Can I have a testimony? All the married, all right, that have kids? All right. Then, you know, another child possibly comes along or more than that. That's a change of season, right? Well, then you go through seasons, you know. Now, you know, where we are, we've got children who, you know, are adults. That's a different season. And if you don't adjust to those seasons and you continually treat those children like you did when they were, you know, ours are 21, 25. Let's say I treated them like they were 1 and 5. They don't like that. Why? It's out of season. So now, the anointing to be their parent now, I have to step into that season I'm in now and to be competent and able where I am now. Amen. How many of you are empty nesters? In other words, your children have moved out of the house. I saw those smiles. I see that. I saw all those smiles. Steve down here just about danced. How many of you are in the season of grandparenting? That's what they're really excited about. That's what I knew. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm looking to those days of spoiling the fire out of kids and sending them home to wreak havoc. With that new set of drums and all that glorious stuff. You know what I'm saying? No, honey, take that home. No, that's for you to bless mommy and daddy with. Amen. It also means this, listen to this. It means not only is it you've arrived, you're competent, you've come into your season, it means it's ample in amount. You got, in other words, it's more than enough. When you say it's ample, you're not just saying, well, I'm just barely going to make it. No, you've got more than enough ability to be in the season that you're in right now. Amen. We see it here. And you know, Pastor Marvin, he was the dean of the school before I was, before they went to back to Illinois and pioneered a couple churches up there. And we've seen it, and those who've been around here with students, you see it with students, that if they'll stay in season and what God's called them to do, then they're very successful. But every once in a while, some folks, they want to jump, you know, they want to get out of season. I know, I remember as a student, you know, especially at Christmas time of my second year. And we were in a situation with my home church. They were without a pastor, and we've been going back and forth all that fall, taking turns, my roommate and I taking turns going back and forth and preaching and trying to do pastoral stuff from all, and we're, you know, and I say, in doing that, that's 1983, you know, we're 22-year-olds trying to do that, you know. It's an interesting thing, and it's just like, well, man, you know, we could just stay here over Chris, just stay here and not go back. But, you know, that would have been so out of season. I wouldn't be in this season now had I done that. You see, that's one thing to think about. It's so important to stay in season where you are now, because you don't know what the effect that will have on the season that is to come. All right. I taught, you know, but you see students, you know, they want to, instead of staying as a student, they want to, you know, I'm called to preach. Well, you're called to be a student right now. Now, we do have, you know, some that are currently pastoring that have the time. Now, they'll come and go to school while they're pastoring other churches out and around, you know, they drive in. And that's an interesting thing for them, but God's called them to do that. That's the season that they're in now. All right? But, you know, it's so important. I like what Paul said. Now, he said it in a relationship, the context is really finance. He said, but I've learned in all things to be content. Content. Amen. To stay in that season. But you've got ample. Now tell your neighbor, you're greatly anointed. Tell your neighbor that. You're greatly anointed. Amen. Not just enough. You've got more than enough. It's ample. He goes on to say, or to be fit in character. To be fit. The character of that anointing is that it is more than enough and it is fit. In other words, it fits. Your anointing, your calling, your gifting, your ability fits right here. Amen. Now, you know, sometimes... And I, you know, this is the third church that I've been on a pastoral staff of, in all three churches, great churches. Love being there. It's interesting to watch people in this thing. I just had the sense early on with me that, you know, Dad, it's not up to you where you go to church. I said, Jesus, you're my Lord, right? That means you're my master. You tell me what to do. Lord, where do you want me to go to church? But boy, because when you do that, you're going to fit. Amen. And really, it's not so much running around trying to find a fit. It's praying in the fit. Not having a fit. I didn't say having a fit. I said, that's a whole different thing there. Praying yourself into it. Well, I'm going to tell you, you know, I believe every one of you are supposed to be here. And I believe that you fit. You're not an outcast. You may feel, if you feel like an outcast, don't let the devil talk you into that. Well, you just don't fit there. Well, who said? Did the Lord say that? Did I hear that on the inside, or am I hearing something from out? He says, it fits. You fit. That word able, that's an interesting word there. You know, we think of it as ability, and yes, it means that. But those other, the original language of it there is that it's so interesting. That was Strong's. No, Siri, I don't need you right now. Why did that happen? Okay. Siri wants to preach. You're not fit to preach, Siri. Thayer's definition of this word says it means to be sufficient. Many enough, enough. Wow. Sufficient in ability, as an example, to be meet or to be fit. To fit. You know, a lot of folks run around trying to fit somewhere. I find it interesting that that word is used here because it's the only time in the King James New Testament that word's translated able. Only time that is translated by the word able. It's used the most times. Of the 41 times it's used in the New Testament, it means many, 11 of those times. Sufficient, much, to be long, to be great. But interesting here, Paul tells him, commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. Back there in Bezaleel and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach. I just love to say that. Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach. One of them was the son of Nun. Was that Bezaleel? You know. How'd you like to be? I'm the son of Nun. Maybe it's Noon. N-U-N. Who knows? But you know what they were doing up to this time? They're being faithful. We know that because that's God's pattern. Commit to faithful people who shall be able. They're being faithful. And God has been putting on them the spirit of. So now, when it's the season, now, when it's time, they're fit. They're ready. It's their season. So, point of tonight is this. God has an ability. It's already been assigned to you. It's a charisma. It's an endowment of God's grace to do something by the anointing, by the Spirit of God. But he also has a season for that to operate in. And it's right now. You have a right now season. Yes, there's future, but don't throw away now because you're trying to get to the future. Stay where you are now. Be in this season now. And that ability will be more than enough for you to do whatever God's called you to do. And all of us together here at Rhema Bible Church, we fit. Remember a few years ago, Mrs. Hagen had the puzzle? Remember when she was doing that, had the puzzle pieces? I remember she spent some time in prayer school doing that, talking about the puzzle, that each of us is a piece of the puzzle. Well, we know universally the body of Christ, right? Everyone's fit. But how about in the local church? Yes, you fit. You fit in this body somehow, some way. So now, yeah, again, being faithful, big part of it, just be faithful where you are. But I found this out. It's a whole lot easier to being faithful and to fit when you are active, using that ability. So I want to encourage you, challenge you. If you're not involved in anything, get involved. You fit somewhere. Now, a church this size, there's a lot to get involved in. Amen? Some of you don't realize, because most of you do what? How many of you sit basically the same place every time you come to church? Basically. I mean, pretty much the same place. Yeah. If you want to find Phil Dietz on Sunday night, you just go right back there. He's there every Sunday night. Okay. You can find him. The Ross are over here almost every service. Okay. That's what I'm talking about. You know what? Your ability right now, your gifting right now, your anointing right now, your fitting place right now might just be to be friendly to those who are sitting around you all the time and encouraging them. How many of you have been to church and boy, it would have been nice if someone had just said, don't know what you're going through, but just, hey, bless you. Bless you. If ever I can do anything for you, just want you to know I'm here for you. Boy, what, that would have just, whoo, you know. Even though they don't know what it is, you don't have to tell them what it is. You have to go through your long story, you know. But just to hear that is an encouraging thing. It's an encouraging thing, right? You see, it doesn't have to be. You don't have to get behind the pulpit. You don't have to necessarily be in a children's classroom. You don't have to. You just be being faithful to being in church and encouraging them. Don't find yourself doing nothing. You see, stir up, rekindle that gift that's in you. Amen. Let's all stand together. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you, Father God, that each and every one of us has received the gift. Each and every one of us has a calling. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, let those who speak, let us speak by the oracles of God. Let those who minister and serve do it with the ability which you have provided, that you, Father, may be glorified in all things. Father, I pray, Father God, that we find our place. We fit in, that we fit with that at this season, that we're competent to step into this season that you've made for each and every one of us. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Well, our prayer team's coming right now. If you need prayer for anything tonight, you might be here tonight. And I want to say this to you. I mentioned to you that I said yes to Jesus as my Lord and Savior. That's how I became a child of God. If you're here tonight and you've never said yes to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, don't leave this place tonight without doing that. Amen? I'm going to ask you to come down and talk with guys. Come and talk to one of the guys, ladies, to one of the ladies. If that's what you need, you come down and tell them, I need to say yes to Jesus. All right? Praise the Lord. If you need prayer for anything else, these men and women are trained to pray according to the Word of God. That's when we know that we can have confidence, as Pastor said this morning, read it this morning from 1 John chapter 5. When we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that if He hears us, we have the petitions we've desired of Him. So come on down, they'll pray with you according to the Word of God. Connection team, if you find our first-time guests, let's give our first-time guests a big hand clap again. Thank them for being here. We're so grateful that you're here. We do want to encourage you on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights normally. Now, they're going to be gone here for Crusade. Pastor, Ms. Hagan will be ministering. You do want to come here, hear our pastor minister for the Word of God. Hallelujah. And come on back for that. But we're so glad you're here tonight. If you're looking for a church home, what do we tell them, church? Welcome home. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to let them get to that place so they can get that gift prepared on behalf of Pastor and Mrs. Hagan for them. Continue to pray this week for the Hagans as they're out in California this week, two different churches. I don't remember what the name of the Ray Jean's church is. Ray Jean Wilson pastors the church they're at tonight. They'll be there through Tuesday night. Then Wednesday night they start at Heart of the Bay Christian Church out in California also. That's the Thomases. Many of you know the Thomases there. But let's believe God. Let's believe God that the ability and the giftings that God's placed in them and the whole team it'll fit. Glory to God. Amen. And they'll be able to open their mouth boldly and speak the Word of God. Hallelujah. Some of them might be live streamed. I don't know. You might check on those websites. Go to the rhema.org website, look at events, or look at Living Faith Crusades. Find those, and they'll give you information on there about that. Everything good? We good to go, guys? All right, we'll see you service Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, Hour of Power. Be here. Tell somebody you love them before you leave. God bless you. You are dismissed.